So Jesus asks his disciples the question, do you understand what I have done for you? And it seems to me that on a number of occasions, Jesus asked this question in different ways of his disciples, because in various ways they really didn't understand what he was about, why he had come, what he was doing. They understood that he was something special and someone sent from God, and they could understand that he had to be from God because of the miracles that he was doing and the way in which he questioned the authority of the Sadducees and indeed the Pharisees. But they didn't really get him. They didn't understand what he was about. And actually, it's only after his resurrection that some of the pieces of the jigsaw began to slot into place. It was only subsequently, after all of that had happened, that they really got the message. They could have answered that question then. We look with hindsight, but perhaps even we have some questions that we want to ask of Jesus. If he was to ask you today, do you understand what I have done for you? How would you answer him? In the still small voice, if he said that to you, would you understand everything that he has achieved for us? For instance, his death on the cross, this whole business of the Last Supper and the washing of feet, the miracles, the resurrection. Do you understand the nature of what God has achieved through the coming of his Son into this world? And the very fact that he asked that question of his disciples means that actually he does ask of us too. It's something that we have to think about for ourselves and begin to prayerfully work through the implications of all that Jesus came, said and did. And as we allow those questions to wash over us, and as we think about what it means, hopefully that understanding by the Spirit of God releases us into a new freedom as we understand all that it means for us today. For his disciples, this was kind of the penultimate act, really, the last intimate act that they would have together. They'd eaten together, and he was going to wash their feet. And then there was, of course, the betrayal in the garden, and so it went on. Tomorrow, we'll reflect upon that. And in the context of the Last Supper, the washing of the feet and all of that, some unpleasantness was obviously in the air, as they began to realize that Jesus was talking about his betrayal. Here he puts it a bit differently in this gospel than elsewhere. He talks about, not all of you are clean. And of course he was talking about Judas Iscariot. Can't have been very nice for any of them really, because he didn't specify who it was at that point. And later on they'd have understood, well actually it was Judas that he was talking about. But in the other gospel passages, we also find that he actually suggests that all of them in some way would betray him and would run away because they wouldn't be able to cope with the reality of what was happening to him. And they wanted to seek refuge somewhere else, not in his presence, because it was just too difficult. And of course, if we're honest, we betray our Lord too in different ways. That's what happens. We are human beings. But the difference being that God, you know, because of his shed blood on the cross through Jesus, actually enables us to draw back and come back and again come back. And of course it happened for the disciples too. There was absolutely an opportunity for them to seek restoration and to find it in Jesus, which is why, and I don't want to skip too far forward, but he spent time searching them out after his resurrection and making sure that those who were able to listen actually saw him alive, so that he could restore them back spiritually to himself. But this was a painful night, the Last Supper of our Lord, the washing of feet, and the meal, when the one who would betray him was at supper with him, and all the others in different ways, as I suggest, would let him down also. But it's something he had to go through. And it was an event that was to, of course, to spawn what we know as the Lord's Supper, the Eucharist, which means Thanksgiving, or Holy Communion, or the Last Supper, whatever you want to call it. And through this act, which we will do this evening, we continue to remember the Lord Jesus until he comes again. We will remember what it is that he came to do. And we ask for grace and strength and his Holy Spirit, not just to keep the faith, but for a bit more understanding of who he is, a bit more revelation, so that we can rejoice in his presence. And of course, as we do eat and drink together, it's a reminder that we now are the body of Christ here on earth. And the work that he wants to do on earth is actually done through his body here on earth. That's you and me, people who are given the Holy Spirit to live out God's life in us. Actually, he comes within us to do his works, to be his eyes, hands and feet. And that's an important task that we've been given. And he enables us to do those things by his Spirit within us. So when we break bread together, not only is God present by his Spirit in that very act, but of course he's present too in his body, the body of Christ. Here we are together. So when I say to you, the body of Christ keep you in eternal life, it's not just the presence of the Holy Spirit that's doing that work, but it's the body of believers who are helping us to keep the faith together. We need each other. That's why we are called the body of Christ. If an arm and leg is jangling somewhere else, instead of sync with the rest of the body, it's not in a very good place. We need each other. And in the early church, as we read in Paul's letter to the church at Corinth, he actually outlines the importance of the not just being a body of people together, but the importance of Holy Communion. And not actually to eat it in such a way as we are disrespectful to the presence of God, both in our lives, but also during that event, during the event of receiving bread and wine. I believe that obviously we don't believe that the bread and wine changes in substance, but we do believe that something happens within us as we receive that bread and wine, as God is present in that very real way. Therefore, he says in this letter to the church at Corinth, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of Christ. So it is a really important thing that we do together as we break bread together. And so that's why in the service of the Eucharist we have an opportunity for a general confession to clear the decks, so that we come before God and can do so openly and cleansed by his Spirit as we ask his pardon and grace upon our lives. So in a moment we're going to prepare ourselves to come to the Lord's table as the body of Christ, as individuals, but as the body of Christ, to receive from him afresh and to remember the things that he said and did for us, the things that enable us to come freely unto the throne of grace and to be with him and for him to be with us, to remember his life, his death and his resurrection. All these are wonderful truths. But if he asks you the question, do you understand what I've done for you? Let's pray that we will understand a wee bit more by the end of tonight and tomorrow and Easter Day, and hopefully a whole lot more before we go to meet with him in glory. Let us pray.